Hi, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where one writer talks to another writer about the books we write and the lives we lead and how these two things are one in the same. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. If you'd like to learn more about the PNWA and their upcoming Summer Writers Conference, which is due to begin on Thursday, July 18th, you can go to pnwa.org. Well, my guest today, scheduled today, is children's book author and young adult author Kirby Larson, who unfortunately appears to be having some technical difficulties. So she's not with me at the moment. I'm hoping she will be joining me soon. But in the meantime, as I mentioned, the Pacific Northwest Writers Association hosts the PNWA's Summer Writers Conference. And I'd like to talk just briefly about writers' conferences, because for some of you out there may or may not have ever attended a writers' conference and may have wondered why you should attend and what is sort of in it for the writer. Well, I've been going to writers' conferences for years now, and I've always considered the experience kind of invaluable, because the writer's life is so solitary, and some writers live in, say, Los Angeles or New York, which are sort of hub of entertainment and publishing, and so you might in your travels actually encounter people in the entertainment or publishing world, but just as likely you live somewhere far away and far removed from the actual center where the books get published, as long as that continues to be the model. Who knows when that will change, but for now mostly they're published in New York and Chicago and down in Los Angeles and such. And so the world of the writer is one of remove. You are removed physically from the people you are ascending to and from where the books are being published. And I know for myself that experience, because I'm someone who likes to deal with people one-on-one, likes to meet the actual human being, can seem so impersonal. In fact, I just interviewed, Jess Walter, who was a short story writer before he was a novelist, now released Beautiful Ruins recently, which is a beautiful novel. And he talked about the Manila boomerangs that he used to send out when he was a young journalist trying to submit short stories, and how he would send these Manila envelopes out, and then they would just come back as if that return was so sort of automatic and so impersonal, it was hard to know for sure if you were actually ever reaching a person, a live human being. I know I went through that with the short stories I would send out when I got a little note scrawled on them. Even if it was a form rejection letter with a little thank you written in pen at the bottom, it just lifted my heart because I knew a human being, an actual live human being just like me, had seen it. Well, when you go to a writer's conference, that's all you've got, live human beings, including agents and editors, many of the same people you submit to. And to get to meet them one-on-one, well, for me, it was very important because, as we often do, we create these sort of myths about the people we haven't met. We don't turn them into full human beings. They simply just become rejection or accepting machines. Well, no, they are, in fact, full human beings. I remember the first time I ever met an agent, I was, 26 or 27 or something, and I had written a novel. And I already had a lot of experience in the sort of writing world. I had written a play that I had produced and put up in front of actual live audiences and got reviewed in papers. And I had worked down in Hollywood doing screenwriting, working for a film company. And so I'd had some experience of submitting my work, but I found the process of submitting to agents and publishers particularly intimidating. I don't know why. I don't know why more than putting up a play in front of strangers, but I did. And so I was going to meet with my very first agent to pitch this agent. I had written a novel, and I was really kind of terrified, honestly. And in my imagination, in my fearful imagination, I had created this story where I was going to sit down and pitch my novel to this woman, and she was going to say to me, "Why are you wasting my time? Why have you wasted my valuable, important time with this ridiculous story that no one's going to want to read?" I actually had this woman saying that to me in my head, and then in my own imagination, I had my impassioned reply about how my story was worth it and she should hear it and I paid good money, and that I had this whole scenario worked out in my head before I ever met her. And, of course, then I went in, and I had my appointment, and she was this delightful person who sat there and listened to my pitch and asked me questions about it and told me how interesting it was and how she'd like to see it, just like a real person does. And so it began to turn the world of publishing from a sort of fantasy that existed in my head because I had no actual contact with it to something real, to something that was relatable to my everyday experience. And for me, that's just invaluable. And, of course, I got to meet other writers, too, other people going through the exact same thing I was going through. This is why Author Magazine exists, by the way. Author Magazine exists because I wished to create an environment where other writers could feel they had some kind of company. You're doing it alone. You're in your office or at your desk, and maybe you have a little writer's group, maybe, or maybe you don't. But I hope that in creating Author Magazine, where I sit down with authors of all sorts of genres and all walks of life, and we talk about the experience of being a writer, not just the book that they've written, but the experience of being a writer, my hope was that you might feel a sense of company, a sense of belonging to something more than just your own little struggles. And in fact, any struggles you've had belong to everyone. They are universal. The struggle of the writer is always universal. Everyone goes through it, no matter whether they're a beginning writer or an experienced writer. The challenges remain remarkably the same. Now, Kirby is yet to join me, so that means we have an opportunity here to do a little something fun. This is live, of course, and I'm on the air. So if you would like to call in at 661-449-9357, I encourage you to do so, and we can talk about anything that might be on your mind. We can talk about the challenges of being an author, as opposed to just a writer. A writer is the one who writes the story, who translates what's on the movie screen of their imagination onto the page. That's called craft. That's called writing. That's what the writer does. But the author then takes what they've written, what you've created in private, and sends it out to the world, to these strangers. And here's the thing about sending to strangers that you have to come to terms with as a writer and really just as a human being. This is what you have to come to terms with. When you become an author, when you decide I'm going to show it to one person, whether it's your mother or your lover or your brother or a teacher or an agent or an editor, when you submit it to another person, no matter how well you think you know that person, you are having to surrender to the unknown because you do not get to know what that person is going to think of it. I know my wife as well as I could possibly know another human being. And I still don't know what she's going to think of an article I've written or a piece of music I've written. She still surprises me. I remember once I heard this song. It was called Throw It Away by Abby Lincoln, this jazz singer. She passed away and somebody posted it on Facebook. And I heard this song and I was so moved by it, by the lyrics and by the sort of musical sensibility of it. I'd never heard of her. I'd never heard of the song, but I loved it instantly. And I played it like two or three times in a row. And I did this alone at the kitchen table while my wife was out working in the studio. And having listened to it two or three times, in comes Jen from her work. And because I love Jen and I love this song, I must share the song I love. And so I said, Jen, stop. Listen to this. And I pushed play, and the song started playing, and then she made this horrible face, and she says, what is this song? I said, listen, just listen to this. I'm listening, she said. The song kept playing, and then Abby Lincoln started singing, and Jen said, I hate it. I hate this song. I just can't stand it. And the more I played it, the more she hated it. So you see, I thought there was no way this woman I love could not love this song that I loved also. But she didn't. It almost seemed to cause her pain, strangely enough. And so this is why, as authors, when we write something, we surrender to the unknown. Because, for sure, if you've written something that you love, and you've written it as accurately as you possibly can, and you've sent it out there to the world with a full and open heart, somebody else is going to like it. but you don't get to choose who is going to like it. You don't get to determine in your mind who is going to like it. That's going to be up to them. Just like all the things that you love are up to you. You wouldn't let anybody else tell you which songs you have to love, what books you have to love, or who you have to love, whom you have to love. I don't know. You wouldn't. And so we certainly wouldn't want to do that to other people. And so this is part of the challenge of being a writer. And really, I got to tell you, it's the challenge of being a human being. Because most of our lives are spent dealing with other human beings in restaurants, in our home, in relationships, in businesses. And those other people remain to some degree mysterious, to some degree. And so we are always having to surrender to the unknown, to that which we have no control over. It's a daily discipline. And for me, writing has been one of the greatest teachers in this regard. You know, in our upcoming issue, I got very lucky. It's not going to be out now. It's going to be out in July. But I got very lucky. A fellow named David Boyne, who had published an article with me a couple months ago called Wet Dog Fever. It was a very funny article about a self-publishing fever. He got caught. He got bit by back before there was CreateSpace and all that. And I really liked the article, and he sent me a couple more, one of which I'm going to publish in July, another I'm going to publish in August. But the one in July is an interview he did with Ray Bradbury, of all people, who, of course, passed away last month. And it was a great interview he did. It was a written interview. I don't publish many of those, but I made an exception in this case. Because not only do I like Ray Bradbury, who, by the way, this is interesting. Of all the writers I've interviewed, Ray Bradbury stands out as the most read author, the most influential author. No matter who I'm talking to, whether it's a science fiction writer or a literary writer, or a writer like someone who's actually going to be on the show here in a couple weeks. July 24th, Richard Bach is going to be on the show, who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He, too, was most influenced by Ray Bradbury, and which I've always found interesting. But in this interview, and I'm going to spoil it a little bit but there's a lot in the interview, this much I thought was fascinating. Ray Bradbury said, I don't consider myself a science fiction writer. I don't consider myself a fantasy writer. I don't consider myself any kind of writer. I am a teacher, he realized. He said, I've realized I'm a teacher, and I'm teaching people what it is to love life and what it is to share what we love. I think that's what authors do. So, again, if you have something you'd like to talk about, you can call in at 661-449-9357. The phone lines are open. I'd love to talk to you. If not, I'll just keep talking about what it is to be an author and the sort of unique challenges we face every day. Because, you know, every day we sit down to write, and we have to ask ourselves really only one question. I know a lot of people sit down and think they're asking, oh, what does the market need, and how can I make this story really cool, and how can I sell it? But really, I think that when an author sits down, they're going into themselves and they're asking the question, what do I want to share with the world? And I think the thing that you want to share with the world is what you know is valuable. You know, we talk about selling our work. When you're an author, that means you've moved from just simply wanting to write your work to wanting to share it. And when you share your work with a lot of people, you get paid for it. And people pay for things that they think are valuable. They spend money because they see value in something. That's what the marketplace is. People see something of value, and they spend the money, and then they have this thing. Well, instead of trying to intellectually decide what is valuable out there in the marketplace by scanning the bestsellers list, you would be well advised to go within yourself and locate what you know is valuable, what you know is valuable and worth sharing. It may be that you love science fiction. You just love it. And you, as a lover of science fiction, know what is valuable about it. You know it on a love level, which is the deepest level you can know anything. And if you know why science fiction is valuable, when you sit down to write science fiction, you will be tapping into that part of yourself that you that part of you that is actually seeking valuable science fiction out in the world, you will then be going into that part of yourself so that you can create it and you can share it because you know what is valuable about it. But you have to believe that there is a part of you that is valuable and worth sharing, which of course there is, but you have to get in touch with it. What do I want to share with the world? What is most valuable? What did Ray Bradbury say? Love. Love, love, love. That's what he wanted to share. That's what Mozart said. He said, I don't believe in genius. There is no genius, is not craft. It isn't skill. It's love, 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 love. That's what you know. And that's what you know is valuable. So you sit down to write, it's like a meditation, and you get in contact with that part of yourself that you know is valuable, which is your diamond self, your truest self, that which you love, and you tap into it and you say, what should I share? How am I going to share this? And that you translate into words. And this, if you do this authentically, if you do it honestly, if you do it humbly, then when you go to actually share this thing that you have, this thing of value that you have tapped into, seen, heard, smelled, listened to, translated into words as accurately and honestly as you can. When you go to do that, it will be that sense of value that you can use as ballast when you go out into that ocean of submission. That will be your guide. When in doubt, remember what is valuable about the piece you've written. That will guide you to the correct people. That will steady you when people say no thank you. Because when someone says no thank you, that's simply information. That's information telling you, oh, that person wasn't the right person for this project. It's just information. It might be information that you need to rewrite, that you haven't translated it accurately. But still, it's just information. What it does not mean is that you aren't valuable. What it does not mean is that what you have to offer isn't valuable. And if you remain in contact with that which you know is valuable, then you will be able to stay steady and translate it again. Well, I have someone here who's on the phone, and I think I know who it is. I don't think it's Kirby. I think it's Jeffrey Pretty.
No, I wish you was. I guess there was an issue with your guest today. I'm sure they'll be back again. Wonderful show, Bill. I love the way you're able to just go, okay, I will. You do better than winging is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I guess I spend so much time talking to myself that this is the easy part.
But it's
do you have
great
you want to talk about, Jeffrey?
I'm sorry?
Do you have something you'd like to talk about today, Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear so many times from authors, even published authors, that they want to, you know, it's the genre thing again. You know, I want my books, I want my work to sell, I want it to be published, I'd like to make a living at it, you know, and the genre thing. And I think my own opinion is, once again, you know this well about me, is, you know, write what you would most want to read, and a good story will find a home. If you get caught up, in my opinion, in that loop of, okay, I've got to write for a specific audience, you know, and hopefully they'll buy it, I think you're limiting yourself. I think you're not writing truly, you're not in your own moment, you're in their moment.
I agree. And when you say the genre thing, you mean that the authors are trying to sort of strategize the correct genre for themselves?
What's hot this week? What's the flavor of the week exactly?
Right.
What's up?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, I suspect that somewhere out there, that there are authors who can do that. I think there are probably a handful of writers who, see, I think, here's to go on a sort of spiritual level, I think everybody is writing on assignment. And the assignment might come from somebody else. Like, I knew a man named Donald Bain, who I interviewed, who ghost wrote 100 books. 100 books he ghost wrote. Most of them, the Murder, She Wrote, he did that, she was Jessica Fletcher.
Right,
and,
right.
And so he was on assignment from somebody else. In his case, the assignment came from somebody else. In my case, my assignment comes from I don't know what, but it comes to this. I feel like I've been assigned this thing that I have to write from some other energy source, so to speak. So everybody's going to get an assignment somehow. There are a handful of writers, I think, who get that assignment from outside of themselves somehow, that they use information like what's selling hot right now, and that they can and they can connect to that and write to that genre. I'm sure there are some, but I think, based on my experience talking to writers who are in genre and writers who are writing literary fiction who were just considered out of genre, that 98% of published authors who are writing and making a living at it are writing simply what they want to see and what they and the book that they would look for on the bookshelf themselves, that thing that they want to see. Because how do you know when it's good? Because there is no ointment you can dunk your manuscript into. There is no physical way to test whether a book or story is any good or not. You have to know on some level that it works. And it's going to be, I don't know how to, I could write a romance novel because I don't understand on some deeper level why they work and why they don't work. I mean, I have the skill to write a romance novel, I guess, but I don't have the love of it to write a romance novel. So it would probably, people would read it and probably say, well, this is sort of good, but it just doesn't work. Because I don't
and again, going back to being, that's a great point, but going back to being authentic, if you're authentically writing what you are most interested in, I think you're going to write the most effectively as well. You're going to produce the best work you can because you understand it, you relate to it, you're in that moment, in that event, and you hope, I guess the hope would be in that equation that transfers to your reader and they like it as well, they relate to it on their own.
Yeah, they will, and of course, not all the readers will. They have to be seeking the same thing that you're seeking in a way. But it's like this: if whatever flavor of story you have to offer, if you don't offer it accurately, in other words, if you say, "Well, I really want to write literary fiction, but geez, nobody buys literary fiction, so I better make it sexy literary, or I better make it like a sort of thriller because that'll sell better." Even though you don't have a real interest in writing a sort of thriller, you think it'll sell better.
Right.
You will create something that is blurry in a way because you have sort of disguised yourself in order to try to create something that you think will sell. But in disguising yourself, it'll be hard for the people who would want what you have to offer to recognize it. And the people who would want the literary thriller, quote unquote, because you don't love it, you won't be able to do it clearly and focused, and so they won't be able to see it either. And so, in a way, you will be doing neither. You're better off just creating the thing that you absolutely know and you absolutely love, and that way the people who really crave it will find it, and it'll be a far more satisfying experience. I know it's fun to make a lot of money, but I would rather sell. I would rather sell 10,000 copies of a book I adore than 100,000 copies of a book I don't like at all, but for some reason I was able to sell. I don't think the money would mean that much to me in the long run. I just don't. I mean, I know for some people maybe it doesn't matter, but I think that is true actually for most people, that the experience of publishing something you love and that you absolutely want to share with other people is going to be more satisfying than simply selling a ton of books.
I agree. I truly believe in all the writers I've spoken to, and I can include you in that as well, that we don't go in it for the money. It's a job. I mean, most of our family finally get it that it's not a hobby, we're just playing it. It's really a job and could be a career. But that really is the point. It's we do it for the love of it. We have something we want to say, and I believe we truly are. We come out of, we are birthed with the umbilical cord on one hand and a quill on the other. I truly believe that we're hardwired to do it. It's something we must do. We're compelled to do it. We have something we want to say. We want to tell a story.
Yes.
And really, again, don't believe we do it because we're thinking about, let me write this and be successful, and let me monetize my work. Not a true writer, not in my opinion. It's certainly not my perspective.
Yeah, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with getting paid to, and in fact, there's something beautiful about getting paid to write. And I will say this about getting paid to write, because I would never want to discourage people from getting as much money as they can for what they've done, especially if they love the work and they think it's valuable, then they should get lots of money. And there's something beautiful about making money off of writing, and it's this. It helps dispel the perception that life is simply a game of survival and then we die. Because when you start getting paid, which is the way human beings in the 21st century survive, we don't go and hunt for our food for the most part. Instead, we earn our living through cash, this invention of ours. It's just a human invention. That when you are paid for something you love to do and that you would have done for no money, because that is true of every writer I've ever talked to who's having any success, they would have done it anyway. it begins to reframe what life is about. That maybe this isn't just an experience of trying to hang around and not die for as long as possible. That maybe life is, in fact, a creative experience towards love instead of just a race away from death, that a game you will always lose. And so I do feel that getting paid for something you just love to do and that you wouldn't need to do, because there is this story that runs through society, which is that you got to go do some crap. You know, you got to do, you know, that part of being an adult and supporting yourself and taking care is doing a lot of crap you don't want to do. And that's just part of the game. You know, life is tough and you got to suck it up, pal, and all this sort of thing. And I understand there's always a certain amount of chopping of wood one has to do to get by, but I think that particular narrative is not in service to people. And that is why it is so great when you are able to begin to get paid for something you simply would have done anyway. Then life is not about survival anymore, but doing what
you
love.
Hard work, exactly, because I think you know one of my Jeffisms is anyone who believes that writing isn't good, honest, hard work certainly is not a writer. Someone sitting down for 2 or 3 years working on one book, and you, again, knowing what it's like, that process of writing, when you're done, it's analogous to, I've just dug a 50-foot-long ditch. I'm exhausted, enervated.
Right.
I need a nap. It's a lot of work to sit down and write a book, even a story, even your blog. You do
Absolutely.
It daily. You astound me every day. They're wonderful. But there's a process. I'm sure after that, it's like, whew, okay.
Well, every day, you have to, I've talked about this, about the concept that writing is hard. I often preach that it's not hard, but it's not easy, and it's not supposed to be easy. That the goal, the great gift to us when we write is that writing demands we give our work our complete attention. That's how you write, and that you can't see clearly what you're trying to translate unless you give your full attention. You can't write if you're worried about the past. You can't write if you're worried about the future. You have to be present in the moment, and you have to bring your full attention to the work. You can't sit there and have some narrative running about how it's no good or how it won't sell or what your mother won't like it or whatever bull story you've got running. No, you have to give it your full attention. And when you give something your full attention, which we're probably not used to doing in our daily lives, we don't give making pasta our full attention. We don't give driving our full attention. We may not even give conversations with our loved ones our full attention. But writing, and we can still do these things with a modicum of success, but writing requires our full attention. And for that reason, it seems uniquely challenging, because we're used to being able to sort of drift through life and still get by, but not with writing. With writing, you have to sit down and make peace with the fact that you're about to give something your full attention. You're not going to let your attention stray. You're not going to question yourself. You're just going to allow this thing to happen. And every day, I've said this many times, but I am never in the mood to write. Never. But I know as soon as I drop my attention to the level of my desire to write, I will want to. And that is an excellent note on which to end. Jeffrey, well, thank you for calling in and helping me with my show. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Always wonderful. You're the greatest guy. I'm looking forward to your next show and having him.
My next show, in fact, will be at a special time. It'll be on a Wednesday, next Wednesday, the 11th, with a return guest, Robert Dagoni, suspense writer now, Robert Dagoni. Bob Dagoni, he's going to be on tours. We're going to talk about the ins and outs of selling your book on the road. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I hope you'll listen, Jeffrey.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Bill. Have a wonderful 4th of July, and take care.
All right, you too. And I want you all to have a wonderful 4th of July, too. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. I hope Kirby's okay. I'm sure she is. In the meantime, remember, do what you love, write what you love, and, well, you can't go wrong. Bye for now.